Alright then guys, what is going on? My name is Cloud Plays. Today we're co-hosted with Mr. Exiled Spartan.
Good evening.
And welcome back to the Crimson Cast. This is episode 2 and today we've got an absolute banger of a guest. We've got a hell of a lot to go through today with a lot of the quirky packs that we kind of do over here with the Guess Your Dev, except we've got a bit of a twist to it today because our guest is a part of quite a large organization with a lot of people that you all know. But today we are introducing an amazing Twitch streamer with nearly 5,000 subscribers, member of Last Rites Gaming Esports Organization, and creator for Planet Destiny. It's a fun-loving, wacky and wild Obi Katie Cat. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Hi. Hi, everyone.
So we do a bit of a weird thing here where we kind of like want to make you feel a little bit more at ease, make things a little bit fun. So we have a thing which we call the Icebreaker. Mm-hmm. Essentially it's just there to quote unquote break the ice, so it's going to literally be probably about 5 quick questions which you got to answer as quick as you can, and we will definitely judge you on the answers. All right.
Oh shit. Right, okay.
All right, okay, so first off, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Cereal in the morning or at night?
At night.
Pineapple on pizza?
Ew.
Console or PC?
PC, obviously. And
Destiny Master Race.
Titan.
Okay.
My kind of girl, that's the shit.
You did a lot better than Anubis. As soon as he said yes on pineapple, that was it. I was ready to end the call. Ah. I was near enough done.
What a guy. Love Anubis.
He's a good man. Right, okay, so delving a little bit into you. What was it that first like kind of made you want to start streaming? Has there been anybody that kind of inspired you along the way to really grind out?
Yeah, so pretty much I played Destiny anyway. I've played since the D1 beta, and then D1 launched on my birthday. So oh, wow. I was already playing, but I was like more of a casual player. And then I watched GLaDS Last Wish race.
Yeah.
And was like, oh shit, this would be fun to do. So I decided to give it a go. And kind of took it a bit casually. Because I thought, well, I'll be playing the game anyway, so why not just stream it and spend time with other people? Give people kind of a hub to go to.
Yeah.
To check out and basically hang out, because I know quite a lot of us gamers, we just kind of isolate ourselves and just like to escape to somewhere.
Yeah, that's what gaming did for me
within video games. So I was like, well, screw it, if I can create a place like that for someone else, like the way that GLaDS did for me when I started. I was like, well, we'll give it a go, see how that goes, because I'll be playing anyway. And only when was it, maybe like when Shadowkeep launched, I started going pretty hardcore with how I wanted to do things, in terms of the way I did stream, the way I played, my knowledge of everything regarding the game. And that was kind of where it stepped up, and it's definitely showed.
Yeah, you kind of took that strategical method to kind of taking it that bit further. Obviously, back in like 2014, we were all just kind of like playing the game because we loved it. Whereas like now, it's really different, and there's a lot of money involved with this sort of thing, and people want to make it a career line. So you kind of have to make that move. And as you say, like you've made that move into making things a little bit more strategical, and it's definitely pulled off. So congratulations with that. It's definitely showing.
Thank you.
When we're talking about obviously the way that you kind of do things, we're going to bring up the Reckoning Seal that you did in 32 hours. That was absolutely crazy. How the hell did you manage to keep going through that?
Well, pretty much it was a case of this season, we had quite a lot of seals to go through, because the way I seen it was like, oh, well, I'm only going to get the seals that I'm going to use. So originally I went for Wayfarer, because it suits what my guardians are based on for me. And my guardians usually wear a lot of leather, with brown shaders or earthy shaders. And they look kind of like post-apocalyptic kind of characters. And all through D1, my Titan wore the well, after Taken King anyway, it wore the Sulfur Burnish shader, which was the Sunbreaker shader that you got with one of the editions.
Yeah.
And I was known amongst me and my fire team as the Brown Titan. And
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. It was just something that just became a thing, because you don't see really Brown Titans anywhere.
No, you don't.
They're always like colors or black or white. And I was like, well, I like how that looks. So I'm going to go with it. And since it's just kind of been known, like I've tried going to the brand colors like purples, pinks, stuff like that. And it just hasn't worked. So I've always gone back to having it brown or like a bronze kind of color. And it was pretty much just a case of, I seen all the titles there and I was like, what can I do this season other than prep for next season? Because I've pretty much done everything. And my chat turned around and went, let's see how many seals you can get. And I was like, go on then. And I seen how close I was to Unbroken. So we finished Unbroken in the first or second week of this season.
Yeah.
Then we went on to then do, this was on Tuesday reset, just gone. We got Enlightened, Shadow and Harbinger on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Because we were like maybe 5 or 6 triumphs away from all of them. So we were like, fuck it, let's just go.
Jesus.
And then we started, well, we were sat there on the Friday. At the near the end of stream, we're just chilling, vibing, with some tunes on, just goofing off with chat, having a bit of a heart to heart.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, you know what? We'll go, we just did Niobe Labs a couple of days beforehand. Because I'd never done it, never bothered with it, because I was like, well, there's no point really. It's been done, you know. And chat was like, no, do it. Generally it's a lot of fun. So I was like, all right, fuck it, go on then. So I did that and then was like, right, okay, well, if I can do that, then I may as well fucking go for it, because I haven't got much left to do after that apart from Forge Kills really. And chat was just like, yeah, go for it. So we decided to go for Blacksmith, which is one of the ones I decided I didn't really want to go for anyway. So that's one that we're going to be going for over the next few weeks, like when the Forge is like kind of rotate daily. We're going to try and get them kills in. But we did, from 0 to 500 of the bow kills, just people cycling in from chat and getting the Monarch kills. I think it was Gefannon at the time.
Yeah.
And so we were like, fuck it, we'll do that. And then we did it. And then I was like, so what do we want to do for the weekend? And chat turned around and was like, have you got Reckoner yet? And I was like, no, I haven't even started it. And they were like,
24 hours, go.
What? How quick do you reckon you could do it? And I was like, fuck it, I'll probably do it in a day. And they were like, oh, yeah, do that. That'll be fun to watch. And I was like, right, fuck it, okay. Fucking, I'll go for it then, chat. And then so we were like, okay, let's just get Reckoner done. And then now I've only got, what? Let me just bring the spreadsheet up. Because we sat and did a spreadsheet with chat of what titles I've got left. And it's like, we've got to grind for materials and XP and everything for next season, because we're going hard next season with this. But yeah, because we got them 3 seals this week and then we got Reckoner. We've only got three triumphs, which is Colosseum Champion, Summoning Ritual and Petra's run for Rivensbane. And I was like, well, fuck it. That's the 5th title we'll be getting this season, and then Unbroken makes it the 6th. And then we're with the Blacksmith, that'll be 7th. Then we'll have Forerunner, which will be the 8th.
Going for this, aren't you? You're like, you're not messing around.
And then we missed out on Conqueror last season because I tried doing one of them and was like, fuck this, it isn't worth the loot isn't worth the grind. I may as well grind easier Nightfalls to get the loot from it.
Yeah.
So we didn't bother to go in with that, but this, because we're just basically seal grinding this season, we were like, right, okay, let's throw Conqueror in there as well. And then the only one that we won't have will be Flawless, and that's because I'm not really a PvP player. So
the one with the Unbroken title. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I really did PvP was to get the likes of Mountaintop, which kills bosses really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, right. Well, if it kills a boss faster, then I don't mind putting myself through it. And I did it back when Mountaintop was like really fucking hard to get. So I was like, right. Okay. Well, if I can get Mountaintop and not Forgotten and stuff, then I might as well go for the Unbroken because I'm like, what, a third of the way there? And yes, it was just the case of, well, after getting Reckoner in a day, we were like, right, okay, let's just get all the titles then. Fuck it, let's just go for it. And yeah, Chuck got really excited about that. So because I've basically done everything already, that's like the main thing for this season. I'll prep for next season and make it a seasonal goal to get every single seal in the game apart from Flawless, unless someone gives a hand with it, but I'm not really too bothered about it.
I mean, fair play to you. I think at the moment, like, there's not really anything else to do other than prepping for next season at this stage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's crazy, though. That's blown my mind. Like, literally blown my mind. I'm not one to go for titles. I literally probably decided about 3 or 4 days ago. I was like, I don't even like Gambit. Nobody's on. I'm going to jump in, see if I can finish the rest of it off. That's the first time I've thought about doing a title since Destiny 2's launch. Like, I've never, ever gone for a title because it's just not bothered me.
Yeah. The only reason I went for Unbroken was because, see, I'm a bubble babe. So I always play, back in the day was Defender, now is Top Tree Sentinel.
Yeah.
And pretty much it was a case of, well, Unbroken suits the lore that I've written for my Titan. And so that was the whole reason I went for that. And then usually, again, I wouldn't go for titles, but I got Dredgen just because I was on the breakneck grind, I think it was, or it was the Delirium. It's one of the two. And I was like, well, fuck it, I might as well. I'll do that at the same time. Chaos Breaker just happened. What else was there? I can't even think of the seasonal ones we just got, the 2019 one we got. And it was basically just plodding through them because it was like, they're just kind of there. I'll use some of them, but after getting like some of the ones I wouldn't use, I was like, well, not really any point. But now this season, like, my community's just been like, fucking go for it. So I'm like, okay.
So from the ones that you've got left over, are you going to be like setting any challenges or anything like that? Any other sort of like big streams that you've got planned for?
Looking at the challenges that will have to come with it, because like the likes of Conqueror is time gated. Riven's Bane again is also, but that'll be a Petra's run as well to finish that off. That's what I'm going to aim to finish it off with. But in terms of actual challenges, there's not really any that look like they can be done in a day, per se. Just because of time gating and the way they work. But I'll try and think of something. Maybe like year one format for a Petra's or something like that, with double primary and a heavy you got to use or something like that. I don't know. Think of something.
It'd be good fun. It definitely makes a massive impact because, like, I think I was told about it 3 times before I'd even seen your tweet hit my feed. It was really, really impressive. So it definitely goes like quite far with the community as far as like just any sort of challenge. For some reason, the Destiny community just jump on it like it's hot. It's mental.
Yeah.
But obviously with like the state of Destiny at the minute, the way that it's kind of like leveled out and the way that it's kind of gone, we're like 4 weeks in. Are we 4 weeks in?
Yeah, roughly.
This will be the fifth reset coming on Tuesday.
Will
be the fifth reset.
Okay, so we're literally like around a month in, and like everybody that I know is already capped out and moved on. So like between me and my friends, we're all generally like quite big Destiny heads, and we have been for a long time. We've all steered off in different like dry points or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But obviously this season we were kind of like really amped for, like, everything's starting to sort of take its turn, where like Activision's now been swiveled out and Bungie's kind of hitting back in with that tasty Bungie lore and all of that sort of stuff that we like about what they did with Destiny 1. But I kind of like sat there 4 or 5 weeks in, and I find myself on my own. Like, everybody's gone off and done other things because they've hit their cap to where they want to be. Like, they're not phased now. They're waiting for September. Are you on that side of, like, the leveling system for Destiny is currently, like, flawed to a high degree?
It is, but it also isn't at the same time, because I guess it gives... You think about it, it's like, well, people who want to achieve that would hit that regardless. Like, if it was... For example, if it was a time-gated thing and you could only achieve so many levels in so much time, like what, year one of D2, where like you could only gain so much level or XP in this amount of time and so forth, so on, then it'd be very frustrating. But then there'd also be, for the likes of like when Last Wish came out and you had... the redeem lot deleting characters and getting prime engrams and stuff like that. And everyone kicked off on them, and it was like, well, if they can do it, why the fuck not? And
this is what I mean.
I feel like you've got the likes of all of us. There's very much a different view on everything to every group you speak to, because I know you've got the casual players that don't really see an issue with it, because they're like, well, I'll get it either today or I'll get it by the end of the season. I'm not really bothered. Like, there's some people I know that are still like only love. There's some people in my chat that are only like 15 ranks into the season pass.
Yeah, and I mean, I just find that crazy. Like for me personally, I've got like so much on my plate on a general basis, between like getting in contact with different people, doing videos for my personal YouTube channel, streaming when I can at the moment, plus obviously normal life stuff like working and my children and stuff. But so I only get like, I don't know, Ed, what would you say, 2-3 hours a night if I'm lucky?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Try a week. but your schedule a week if you're lucky.
So it's a bit crazy. So I classify myself as a casual player, but I try and hammer in as much as I can in those time, like those few hours each day. So, but I'm still sat there going, right, okay, well, I don't know what to do at this stage. Like, I'm already there. Like, I just find it crazy that it's kind of been hit to that point, and you kind of scroll through Twitter's feed and see how much of a meme is kind of being made of. I'm really hoping that obviously come September, with all the changes that they're putting in place for like sunsetting and all that sort of stuff, we sort of see a new leveling system.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, like, sunsetting is going to be amazing, right?
I can't wait for
like,
it.
I don't care what the fuck anyone else has to say. Sunsetting is going to be great. Of course, RIP Mountaintop.
That's needed, like, though.
It's needed. Because there's only so many times you can go into something and just whip out Mountain Anarchy Recluse and just shred through their entire activity. It's only got so much life. So the fact that, like, as they said themselves, they can't make new interesting weapons that are super strong, because they'll be around forever. And that's been the problem that we've had since D2 pretty much started introducing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Has been a case of, well, it's around forever. And if they introduce anything that's stronger than that, then you've got the power creep. If they bring out anything that's less than that, it's not even thought about, because why would you go for it if you've got them? Yeah. And then if you nerf the stuff, then it's like, oh, well, there we go. That's gone. So what else are we going to use? And at the end of the day, there's always going to be something that the community is going to find a way to break the game with. So I'm happy for it, because it's going to be fresh. It's going to be interesting. The only thing that I've got a kind of off feeling about is the way they're doing what weapons are coming back. You've got to refarm the rolls for the same guns you've already had. And what kind of way are they going to bring in fresh stuff? Because if it's just new weapons that are the same weapons that we've previously had with nerfed perks of what we've already had, then it's not going to be fun. But if they make the weapons interesting, unique, then I feel like it's going to be a blast. And definitely, you look between year one of D1 to year two of D2, the difference is amazing. So if they can pull off that again, so like from vanilla to Taken King, then that'll be fantastic.
definitely. Definitely. This next one I was always like a little bit on the edge of asking. So if it's for you like a little bit overstepping, I'll edit that out anyway. So we'll go by. But for me, I think like we're in a stage at the moment with the Destiny community, and especially like with the Twitch community and the content creation community. There's a little bit of a prejudgmental thing and kind of a basis where people don't really understand certain aspects. So for me, I wanted to kind of really be able to hone into the factor. With obviously you being the first female guest on the show, you obviously get the pleasure of being able to answer it first. But from your personal experience, what is it like being a female Twitch streamer? Like, what's the experience of what sort of like shit do you like get? Because I see a lot of feeds on Twitter and stuff like that, of like how their chat is consistently like just doing this, that, and the other. Your chat, your community seems really, really nice, but do you get that odd one or two people that come in and just you know what I mean? They're vulgar. Yeah, it just makes you feel belittled. Like, is that a genuine thing across the board?
Yeah, there's luckily my community is pretty good with this kind of thing, so for the likes of being supportive and not shit talking anyone, like I've pretty much built my community around being accepting of everyone, no matter what their, you know, color, sex, anything like that. It's just a case of everyone can mingle with everyone. We're all just goons at the end of the day, which is why you know, it's a nice nickname that I like to call them. They're just my goons. Everyone's the same. it's a nice place. We're all just fucking nutters that like to vibe, and it's just great. And so luckily they keep an eye out for anything that they see suspicious. And it's the same with my Discord. They're the same there. They're the same on Twitter. It's just everywhere. You do still get it. It does happen. Although because of the way that I've built my community from the ground up to be that accepting and like eyes like a hawk and everything, they're usually pretty good. So it usually deters anything like that, but it does still happen. Like there is times where like people will pop in and they'll be like, hey, flashy tits and shit like that, and then like you'll get like messages either on Twitch, Twitter, Discord, anything like that, and it's like yeesh. But generally it tends to be alright. It is a little belittling and makes you feel not as in like,
I get what you mean. I think I get where you're coming from with it. I think the only reason why I kind of wanted to ask it is because like everybody reads a tweet, and for me like text always comes up differently than hearing somebody's voice say it out loud. So for me, having like, I've got a couple of female friends on Twitch and that, and they get some of the stuff that they get is disgusting. Like you open yourself up. Do you know what I mean? You open up your social media accounts and people are sending you whatever the hell they want to send you. And if I just think it's just not okay. Do you know what I mean? As a male, like, I don't experience that. I don't experience any of that.
There was one that was definitely sticky outy, which was when we were doing Corridors of Time. I was doing that with Raid Secrets and Glad and all them that were doing it. And there was like times when I'd be like, oh, you guys can join on me, take your screenshot, send it to me, stuff like that. And then I'd go into my DMs to check them, and they'd be like fucking dick pics and all sorts. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, no one's impressed. Just fuck off. But I mean, it's pretty much gonna happen, and that's kind of a sad reality. I know we're in a movement of change right now, especially with everything that's gone on recently, with the Twitch/Twitter/Destiny culling of negativity that's been going on the past few weeks. But at the end of the day, like boys will be boys, and it's gonna happen, sadly, but we just gotta get on with it, pretty much, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's just really sad to kind of think that that's even a thing. Like,
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I can't begin to imagine. Like, I wouldn't say I've got a short fuse, but if I received something like that, it'd be on my feed, tweeted out with their at on it. More than happy. Like, that's going off. That's going off.
Pretty much it's a case of, because of the way like I handle myself, like I don't react to that kind of stuff. So pretty much anyone that has tried it has just been basically ignored, or I just draw no attention to it. At the end of the day, like if me responding negatively to something, it's just gonna,
it's an effective movement for them, isn't it? Yeah,
it's just a case of, if I don't acknowledge it, then it's not really gonna have any effect. Yeah. So that's why everything I do is just try and get as much positivity and love going around. Like, I've been doing a lot of what I like to call drive-bys recently, where I'll be streaming and I'll just put a link to a streamer in my chat, and I'll do like between 1 and 5 streams in a row. And kind of just be like, right, chat, go over, drop them follows, and just spam emotes in chat, let them know you love them, and all this, that and the other. And that's been something that I've been doing recently, because there is a lot of, you know, uncertainty and negativity going around. So I just thought, you know what, we'll do that. And at the end of the day, if we can do stuff like that instead of just dragging down everyone into this cesspool of everyone belittling each other and cancelling and all that, at the end of the day, if we can spread love rather than hate, then the world's going to be a better place.
Definitely. I think, this sort of segment kind of went on a little bit longer than I thought. Essentially, halfway through, like, some of the questions, we do this thing where we kind of like take tweets from online that are relatable to a specific person. So with Anubis, we kind of took tweets from the Destiny devs and the Destiny social media team and just kind of like read them out to him, see if he could guess who they were based on, like, obviously how much Twitter, like, by this time he spent on Twitter, sorry. How well do you know your last right members, your team members?
To an extent. I interact with them.
Yeah.
But I've only met a few of them a few times. So like the Get Wrecked event that we all went to.
Yeah.
Like I met a bunch of them there. And then I obviously speak in the Discord a bit, but like the majority of us tend to do our own thing and then like kind of group together every now and again. But I'm on Twitter quite a lot, so I feel like I could probably get them.
them. We've picked out 3. So generally, like I said, we'd do it in between the questions, but you answered the questions so well, I didn't want to stop you. So we've just got to let you go with it. But what we'll do is I'll put out these questions, these tweets now, and we'll see if you can guess them par se. So the first one is somebody who posted up a picture. And they put the quotation saying, "Think breakfast is trying to tell me something. #Destiny2. And the picture was a picture of a plate with a load of triangle hash browns going towards it.
Hold on, who does that sound like? I'm trying to think, actually.
Damn, I forgot my countdown time.
Is that... Okay, I'm between 2 people right now.
Who are the 2 people out of interest?
Right, I'm thinking it's potentially Benji or... Where are they?
I love it. To be fair, you've got a bit of a record to beat, to be honest. We went for Destiny devs with Anubis and he managed to get 2 out of the 3. I was well shocked. That boy spends way too much time on Twitter. So if you can knock all 3 out, or at least meet 2 out of 3, then I'll be impressed.
That'd be funny. I think it's either Benji or Jarv, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll take it. It was Jarv. It was Dom. I'll take that one. That was fair play. That was fair play. He does do some wacky tweets though, regarding to Destiny. He really thinks of his things.
I'm getting his boom mic arm. I'm buying that off him. As soon as he can get a cardboard box. So Jarv, if you're listening, fucking hurry up.
We got a lot of time for Jarv. Jarv's a very good guy. All right, we're gonna go straight on to the second one. The second one is a fairly long one, and to be fair, it's a little bit of a skeptical one, so you may not guess it. I'm not gonna lie, this was built to be quite difficult. The next one's really fun, so I can't wait to read the next one. But this one, it was tweeted out by somebody who said, if people are willing to AFK in a forge to increase their power, it simply highlights the flaws of the current leveling system. If the leveling system was better, people wouldn't feel the need to AFK farm. Let this be a lesson learned and a sign that the current system has to go. This one was probably a little bit ambitious, and we were reading them and I was like, I think I've been a bit of an arsehole with this one. This one's just like way too.
Do you agree with that tweet though?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I get the feeling she's just...
This is a tweet.
Checking Twitter.
just scrolling like, come on.
I'm just on Discord. I'm just looking through the roster list and I'm like, who does that sound like?
That sounds like a code word for Twitter.
No. that could...
I don't see a lot of these tweets by this person, for the record. This person, I speak to this person quite a bit, and they don't generally speak about it like this. They're generally quite a lot more forward with situations. They are not worried about saying what they have to say.
I feel like that's either a Zoe or maybe. Ooh, that's
I can hear
now.
I can hear the cogs turning. I can hear it. If you want to pass it, we can give it a pass. I think the next one would be quite an obvious one.
It's either Zoe or I think potentially Dan Finney.
That one was Benji.
Oh, was that actually? Oh,
it was. I read it.
It wasn't Benji.
Every time I've seen a tweet off of him, he's been like full force, doesn't give a toss. Do you know
I
what I mean?
So playing with him at the beginning of the Reckoner grind. I was speaking to him this morning actually as well. Fuck.
That's funny. Get that one. This next one, to be fair, is very, very easy. But I kind of picked it because it made all of us chuckle a little bit. And then right at the end, we were just like, and we need to click a like on that one. We need to make that one like recognized. So this one was tweeted by somebody who said, I'm so sick of people who don't know me trying to say I sucked dick to get where I am. Bitch, I'm great at sucking dick. If I sucked dick to get here, it wouldn't have took me 4 years to get partnered. So get your facts straight. With also, what's that? Oh, right, that was an emote, sorry. While also being keeping my mouth shut while I'm being harassed.
Right, okay. Oh, Dude, what?
Again, I feel like I'm kind of trumping you with them. These are so out of character tweets. It's unreal.
They are. Oh my god.
But literally, because I was speaking to this person earlier today, and and I read it, and I was just like, years. There is no way.
Who took 4 years to get the partner?
When you're talking about this story, I can't even remember who it was.
See, if I call out names now, they're going to be like, excuse me.
Shove the blame onto the cloud. It's
fine. I'll take full blame.
Okay. Right. That doesn't sound like a Zoe thing. She's a bit more serious than that. Me? You know what? That sounds like an Addy thing. Is that an Addy?
Is that what
thing?
You're going with?
Robotic Addy?
It was Zoe.
Was it?
It was Zoe. It was so out of character when I saw it. I was like, oh my god, I've got to pull this one off. That is amazing.
Yeah, okay, that one caught me off guard.
I think I did give you a bit of a trump on that one. A bit of a trump on that. But no,
that's 0-3. Damn it.
You got the Jarve.
Got 0.5.
I think what made it funniest was that you guessed Benji on the first one when he was the second, and you guessed Zoe on the second one when she was the third. That was probably the best part of it, I can't lie.
God damn. No worries. I mentioned their names at some point. I get half points, John.
Right,
we discuss it after.
Yeah, I read it. Yeah. I've got one more part of Destiny, and I know Ed's kind of got a little bit more of a love to a different part of your channel, which I haven't really partook in, really. So we're gonna we'll cover one more bit of Destiny on probably the more
don't
PvP side. I know you don't
weird.
Cover it, but shout out. But at the moment, obviously, we've just got rid of skill based matchmaking. We're now going through to the whole connection based thing with Iron Banner. How much time have you spent in Iron Banner since it's released this week?
Pretty much done my weeklies and stuff. I'm not the biggest PvP player, as I said earlier. And it was pretty much just a case of I was just pinnacle grinding. Personally, I very much prefer it. But that could be because
gives us low level PvP players a bit more of a chance. At least for me, that's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like for me as well. Like, yeah, of course, there's always one person in a lobby that's gonna stomp everyone else. But I feel like that's how it should be, rather than a sweat fest every game.
Yeah.
It feels a lot more chill, you can have a lot more fun, you can whip out wacky loadouts, and it's not.
That like, was what I had most fun with, was being able to just switch up weapons and kind of not feel like I was at a disadvantage.
Yeah, like I've been using, what was I using? I was using, I can't even remember. It was a auto-loading SMG with, I think it was my Deathadder, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I was using an auto-loading Deathadder with the Witherhorde.
I'm
just running around, just going off on them because I've masterworked it. So that's got auto-loading as well. And it's just a case
nasty.
Of fire that in and then swap to Deathadder and just go to town. But like at the end of the day, like I was still able to get taken down. Like when we did the Reckoner stuff, like I swapped to proper sweaty stuff, so it was 1k Revoker and Fellwinters, so it was like completely different story. But I can still like goof off, I can whip on Traveler's Chosen and stuff like that and just go to town. But that's probably because my light is pretty much max now. So it's probably a lot easier for the higher level players than it is the low, especially with Iron Banner. Yeah. But in terms of comp and everything, I haven't really tried because I've got zero reason to go in there now.
I have literally not gone in there whatsoever, to be fair. I think for me, it's kind of, it was just a refreshing change. So like if I wanted to go into PvP, I didn't feel like I was just doing it because I've not done a stream on it in a long time, and I'm just doing it because they want to see it. It kind of felt like if I was going into it to get my pinnacles and that, it wasn't such a daunting task.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The only problem right now is the cheaters, but that's a whole other issue.
I'm console, so I'm on PS4. I don't get a lot of those issues. Because they don't seem to hack into a PlayStation 4 as easy as they manage to pull up a script on a PC. So I don't really see them issues too much. But I don't know. I think it's really good. I think the only thing that I was kind of hoping, and I've kind of been hoping for a very long time, was that they would bring new stuff into Iron Banner. Would be like the weapons, the armor loadouts.
Even what I'd like, instead of just bringing back old armor sets from D2, maybe bring back a set from D1. I know we want new gear and stuff, but I feel like with it just being Iron Banner and it being before the big release of the next thing, I mean, for God's sake, they brought back the Trials of the Nine gear and put it in the dungeon.
I know, that was really that confused me though.
Oh, I loved it.
It confused me. I love the set.
But we did say like ages ago, like I'm pretty sure the entire community said, right, okay, make a 9 themed dungeon and put the Trials armor in it with some Trials weapons and stuff. And And props to them, they did it. I wish they did the weapons as well. Like, oh, what's the fucking name of it? The prosecutor and yeah, all them kind of things. Like, if they would have put them in as well, that would have made it even better. But I mean, obviously, there's only so much of a loophole you can have from one activity. We're not having menagerie again.
No, God, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I don't know. I just find it really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really weird.
I'm definitely a fan of it.
I'd like it.
My favorite.
If they 100%. The scenery alone makes me just go back.
Yeah, well, considering I don't know how much of my stream you've seen, but I'm very vaporwavy. So anything like that with synthwave soundtracks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's it. Just game over there. Clean up an aisle, pants. Just go home. There we go. End of story.
I love that. As
you mentioned, do you stop wanting like Iron Panorama or whatever coming back from year one? What's your opinion on the likes of Vault of Glass, like D1 stuff making the way to D2, like the Cosmodrome coming back and all that?
Oh, 100%. 100% want it back. Like, because, right, so I wasn't as big of a hardcore player during D1. I just played it casually. I had, like, my school friends that I played with that were all in my class. And we just, like, kind of did raids every now and again. So my raid report is awful from D1. But I remember my most memorable time was King's Fall and everything to do with that. I mean, like, D1 year one was pretty memorable, but I just remember the Taken King being the storyline that, like, completely sucked me in.
Yeah.
And thinking about being able to fucking do King's Fall with the way my D2 Titan is and everything like that, and the community I've got now, and like I can literally just instead of sitting in orbit waiting for one person to come online, I can just be like, okay, chat, we need someone, just jump in, and just being able to go through that experience again without having to just go back on my PlayStation and play at 30 FPS with 70 FOV. it's gonna be something else. Like Vault of Glass, and it's gonna be so nice. Like I miss the likes of Atheon's Epilogue, Fatebringer. I never actually had a Found Verdict drop for me, so that's gonna be nice. Never, to this day, still have not had Found Verdict.
My bloody most common weapon from Vogue is that Verdict. No,
it never dropped for me, ever.
I think for me, every raid I've ever gone into, new first thing to drop, shotgun. I don't like shotguns. Don't like them, but I get them.
I love it. Like literally, my D1 loadout for year three. Was an Arminius D with Rodeo and Surrounded. Immobius, which is the Titan shotgun from the Gunsmith, and a Galahorn. That just did not come off my character. So also Shotty and Galley. Just beautiful.
Do you think they'll bring the raid exotics back with them?
I very much hope so.
I mean, see it my
the in the actual I'm pretty sure someone said I don't know where I heard this. I heard this a while ago, though. All the actual models for armor and weapons from D1 are actually in the coding for D2. They're there. They just haven't been implemented, which is why there was a big kickoff about how long the trials armor took to get in the game. So, I mean, if it's there and they're able to just do it, I'm all for it. I'm a firm believer that D2 should have been just an expansion of D1. Obviously, there's technical limitations and all that kind of stuff, and there was a huge UI update and quality of life and everything, but I'm a very firm believer that that should have been the case because of the way the content was and how good it was and replayable. And
I think the way that they were originally planning it until they started partnering up with other companies was that the Destiny lifespan was, I'm pretty sure they said the Destiny game itself was going to last 10 years. They weren't going to be releasing different games or anything like that. The Destiny game would last 10 years. I'm sure that's how it originally was based until they started partnering.
I feel like that's what they're going with now.
Yeah.
Because they're on their own, so they can. I feel like that's exactly what they're going for. But it's obviously all in D2 now, so I feel like they're just bringing, basically I feel like what they're doing is bringing D1 into D2,
and just carry on where they left off.
As they're also carrying on everything else. Yeah, so like basically, and while they're bringing out basically D3 as an expansion in D2, they're also going to be bringing back the first year of D1 and bringing them out at the same time, putting them in. I feel like that's the path that they're going on. And if that is the case and we're getting like them kind of expansions with new stuff with a mix of old and slapping them at the same time, one, it's going to hit the nostalgia, and two, it's going to increase how much there is for players to do. And at the end of the day, more content, you can't really complain.
Definitely.
So I'm very excited. Very excited.
What I'm curious to know though is, two things. So two-part question. Should, as you mentioned, Galley was your go-to heavy for D1 loadout.
Oh yeah.
That was a Galley and Nicebreaker. They're probably the two most legendary weapons from D1. Do you want to see them come into D2 or let the legacy die with Destiny 1?
Tricky question. Icebreaker, probably not, because of ammo economy and the way it breaks it.
Yeah.
I do see the appeal to it. I reckon if Icebreaker was to come back, that you do something along the lines of a similar thing to Revoker. Like, I'd say maybe with Icebreaker, like, every time, I don't know, maybe every time you get a precision kill, there's a bullet can return to a mag, or the next special ammo brick you pick up after getting a precision kill grants more ammo, or something like that, just to take away the recharge, which I know it killed a gun, but people do want it. And the only problem is that functionality along with Revoker does kind of break the game in that aspect.
Kind of destroys the availability for like Sunsetting as a whole, doesn't it? Because essentially what it's going to do is it's just going to make the Icebreaker the go-to weapon now. So they obviously haven't put exotics into Sunsetting yet, but from what we heard, from what Luke was saying, he was saying essentially they're not doing it right now, although he'd be lying if he said they wasn't being looked at. I think it'd be a really bad idea to do that.
Yeah, exotics should not go anywhere.
Hell no. I don't understand why that would even be a partake, but I think if you brought Icebreaker in. Galley's always an odd one, because for me, Galley was the bane of my existence. I went through most of Destiny 1 with the what was that rocket launcher called from Crota?
Well, I'm not telling you.
I went through the whole of Destiny 1 with that bloody rocket launcher, because I could not get Galahorn to drop whatsoever. And the week before, I think it was the week before one at Ed, the week before
it was Icebreaker and Galley were year one. It's basically when we were told they're not making year two.
That was it. I got three in a week. I went through my whole time with the freaking... It was a good rocket launcher, but it wasn't a freaking Galley. Sometimes I get booted out of Crotas at the end just because I didn't have a Galley on me. Like, it was stupid, but I think for me, Galley holds quite like a big heartache that
Galley,
I don't think I'd want it to come back.
I feel like Galley. This may be biased because it's my favorite exotic in the history of Destiny, but I do genuinely think Galley should come back. Rockets are in a bad place. And I feel like the likes of Galley could revamp that love. And especially when pretty much everything in PvE is pretty fucking usable. I feel like because of the way D2 functions, you don't have the heavy ammo synths to have basically bottomless clip near enough. I feel like it'd be fine in D2 because of that, because you're not just gonna be able to sit at the back, pop a heavy ammo synth and just go to town. You'd have to actually work for it. You'd have to go out and get ammo or use your armaments to go for it, which is gonna lose you your grenade. I feel like it'd be fine, but I feel like it'd have to be in the similar aspect to year 3's Galahorn of D1, where it's tied to a quest and it's available to everyone. So there's no gatekeeping involved in terms of LFG. And I feel like the year three version of Gjallarhorn isn't as much of a destructive monster as the year one.
It's not as potent at all.
So I feel like a year three Gjallarhorn would be acceptable. Year one, though, completely out the question. No.
No. Hell no.
Because you look at it, like, we're running around with swords right now, melting everything. And they're like, no, not having that. And it's the same with Sleeper and anything like that. If it melts the boss too quick, it can't happen. But I definitely reckon a year three galley would be acceptable, let's say. And I would very much like that.
You see, I'm firmly no, leave galley where it is. But I see your point. I actually agree with a lot of what you said about, yes, the year three, not year one. But I just don't want galley back. Leave it where it is.
I think it's a legacy.
I like the memory of it. Yeah.
And it's the only legacy we've got left. Like, they brought the PvP kings in, the last word, and the thorn hit. I think, like, I don't know. I was a bit of a PvE head, man. We loved our raiding. We carried through, like, 103 people or something like that through raid streams and stuff like that. So, dude, raiding was a massive part for us. So, I think, like, I don't know. I could be swayed. I see what you mean. And I think probably later on down the line, closer towards, like, the end of Destiny's lifeline, probably the last couple of years of whatever they have planned for, like, the 10-year gap and that, I think we probably will end up seeing it. But
awesome.
Right, have you got anything else that you want to add to this, Ed?
Well, yeah, no, actually, one more point, actually, was a two-part question. I know, it was a multiple-part question. I don't bloody know. But no, because there's one thing, like, I'm excited for the Cosmodrome to come back, as we've discussed already. What I'm curious to know what Bongo have planned to do. But which Cosmodrome would you rather come back? Year one or year three? Yeah.
One, I agree. So,
sorry to cut off, but yeah,
well, no, you're okay. Yeah.
Year one.
Understand? No, I'm like, as good as the Sivified stuff looked, year one Cosmodrome, just the views is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm as good as Siva is, and the aesthetic of Wrath and all the Siva stuff. I don't know. It kind of goes too far in the kind of aesthetic that I try to keep away from. I very much like the things that kind of stand out to me is you have the Titans that look like Spartans from Halo, pretty much. You've got the hunters looking like gunslingers from the Wild West, and you've got warlocks looking like, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of wasteland scavenger kind of things.
Yeah.
That's how I pictured my guardians looking. It's how all my guardians look. And then the Taken and the Hive, just those two are just everything to me, like anything like that. And then you've got the likes of the Cosmodrome. You've got, where would you say? You've got the old tower specifically. You've got the likes of the Dreadnought, the Moon, all that kind of stuff. That's what really draws me in. And I feel like when the Plague Lands came about and you saw the Cosmodrome kind of get corrupted like that, I don't know, it just felt weird. And as cool as Siva is and stuff like that, I don't know, I love it, but I would prefer the original Cosmodrome. There's something about old Russia just looking all like that and old and abandoned, that just looks, it's just something else. It takes your mind, it takes you to an incredible place.
Indeed it does. What about, just to kind of follow up as well, the fact that we've, what about other planets, like the fact we have Mars again, would you like to see D1 Mars be added to it? Because one thing I've wished that they did from the get-go was do what like The Witcher did, extend Destiny 2, or do Destiny 2 as an extension. So like, if you wanted to go, like we're going to be able to do now in September, go to the Cosmodrome, wander around, do patrols, whatever. I'd have loved to have that been implemented more or less from the beginning, like with the fact we had Mars come back, I'd have loved to have seen the old Mars Patrol come back with it. So it would have been a massive, massive planet.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I definitely think, like, I remember the original when, what was it? When Waterman came out.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, this would just be so much better if you could literally just drive so far around Mars that you eventually reach the red part of Mars and just have that there. And I don't know, it just bring a bit more life to the planet if you could do that. I know obviously with a fucking data size you wouldn't be able to. But having both terrains of Mars would just be, it'd be really nice. It'd make it, it'd give a wider sense of how big these places are.
That's exactly it.
It'd make the world feel more cohesive. Like, we've been to Mars, the, like, the red side of Mars before in D1, so why can't we go there now? That's the main thing that stands out. It's like, well, we could go there before, why not now?
Yeah.
And with the moon coming back and Cosmodrome coming back, I feel like it would be a nice addition. I mean, I can't think of Mars specifically for anything that memory wise really stands out. For the likes of, apart from the Black Garden, I can't really think of anything that stands out from the old Mars that to me now. But I do see where you're coming from with that. So, like, you got Europa coming in September.
Yeah.
So I mean, if we had that and then had the Dreadnought as well, because that's pretty fucking close. I feel like that'd be stuff like that. I don't know, just bit by bit, just kind of bring back.
I think over time it'll all string together.
And
I think
haven't we? The DCP, as they called it.
Yes.
If they've got that, then I feel like there will be cycling stuff in and out and all that, and that's the main thing that I'm excited for right now. I got the reaction on YouTube, and I've had a lot of my goons and stuff, so that it's absolutely hilarious. Like, they were showing off the, you know, when they showed all the, like, little snippets from the release trailers right before they announced Beyond Light, then Witch Queen, then fucking what was it? Lightfall. Yeah. It was just like, my God, seeing it like that is just incredible. Seeing release after release after release just as one thing. And it just made me wish that the whole thing was just one game.
Yeah.
Even more.
Just give me it all now. Now.
Like, we all thought that was going to be D1 remaster at first. And we were like, oh. But yeah.
That's it. Like, because I think there's been loads of conversations with myself and Cloud and Barcode. We were like, we want to see more of the Stranger story arc, and Dan will tell you when the Stranger popped up her head, and I lamped the story, and I was like a teenage girl. I got very, very excited to see her come back. Very much excited. Maybe not so much about the Stranger's rival, but for the Stranger, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, I remember Bungie saying, oh yeah, we abandoned that storyline.
Oh God.
And everyone was like, what?
Why?
What was it Luke Smith said? I think he claimed it as, it's reached the end of its arc in the way that it should. And I was like, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
How?
Like, no.
Clearly now Luke Smith was trolling us.
Yeah.
Or he realised how much we actually did want it and was like, oh, okay, we should expand on it and get that. Or maybe Datto or someone spoke to them, explained why it's not finished in our eyes. Because
I think Bife would have had a good bloody go.
Yeah, I think their reasoning was, like, it was only a small character, like a scout or something, that was meant to come and relay information for something bigger to come, but they weren't going to be involved as per se. I feel like that's maybe what it was, and we just kind of seen it as a bigger thing than it was. But I definitely feel like them going back to that is probably one of the best moves they could have done.
Definitely. As long as you don't mess it up. Please don't mess it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So at this part of the podcast, we generally do a thing which we like to call the last word, which is essentially where we kind of give this all to you. You can promote yourself to the high heavens, let everybody know where they can find you, when they can find you, the times and all that good stuff. So yeah, OB Katie Cat, you want to have your last word?
So pretty much just say whatever here.
Just promote yourself out, promote your Twitch, your Twitter, your where else they can find you, YouTube videos, whatever, man, like literally just promote yourself over.
It's Kat here. I do streams on Twitch 12 p.m. so midday British time. So midday, and they usually go for 12 hours plus. And that's on a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we are going to be going full time with it soon, because I'm going to be handing in my notice in. So, yay! Just waiting for lockdown to end. But yeah, it's twitch.tv/OBKatieCat. You can find me on pretty much any social media platform with OBKatieCat, because I'm one of the lucky ones who's actually managed to bag the username on everything. That's Twitter. It's where I post a lot of goofy stuff. And along with streaming schedules and stuff, YouTube tends to be clips from streams. I suck at editing, so that's why that exists. But there's a couple of funny things, like my let's have a look. There's like all rated Zavala and all that, and then you've got battle station tours and damage tricks and tips and stuff like that, and then reactions to trailers. Just pretty much we're on the pusher partner on Twitch, so everyone that comes down is greatly appreciated. It's pretty much just a place you can hang out, be yourself, goof off, and enjoy some Destiny content. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I can't think of
amazing. Not amazing. If you guys are watching this on video format, which is over on YouTube, then make sure you go down into the description. You'll find all of OBKatieCat's links down there. If you are watching this on Spotify, then make sure you check her out on Twitter. I'm sure you'll find a lot of it over there as well. Also, highly recommend checking out the Instagram. The setup that this girl rocks is absolutely nutty. So just seeing an image of the setup alone is worth going to take a look at. Guys, thank you very much again for listening and or watching. Smash them like buttons, subscribes, and follows. I appreciate all of you damn faces, guys. But up until next time, from myself and Exiled Spartan, I'll see you in the clouds.
Bye.
Bye.